Well, the previous two speakers have talked about the rich history and beautiful structures of mathematics. Well, unfortunately, I work in computer science. I do bioinformatics. We don't have a lot of history, so I talk about the future. This is on the homology search. What I'll do is to present you some nice mathematical ideas that show you how mathematics helps to do biology, any bioinformatics. Actually, I'll focus on one. So this is the current situation. About 400 eukaryote genomes are being sequenced. The gene bank is doubling every 18 months. So there's a gigantic task to do comparative genomics. And if you have a sequence, you want to search the database, find something similar. If you have a genome, you want to find if your genome is, compare your genome against some other genomes. Mike Bruno here has written one such program, which is very widely used. I'm talking about a different one. Okay, so the task that I will be talking about here is very, very simple. You have a sequence or a genome. You want to find something that's very similar in the database. So genomes, unfortunately, are not very similar to the mathematical structure Andrew has talked about. They mutate, they change, they become different over the time. So when you do the search, you have to be careful. You have to look at things that get deleted, something that get mutated, something was inserted, things like that. But the similarity are still there over the time, left from the history. Instead of giving you mathematical, formal definitions, let me actually run a program tell you how this thing looks like. So here I have an E. coli genome, which has five million base pairs, a H. influenza genome, which is about 1.8 million base pairs. So these are two bacteria genomes, very similar bacteria, sister genomes. I'm running a program, I hope it runs, a program that compares the E. coli genome against the H. influenza genome. The idea is that you want to find all places where two genomes have similar genes and pieces of information. So this is done. The output file is at alt text. Let me go to the place. Not here. Output. There. Let me show you the genome first to show you what we are dealing with. This is the E. coli genome. Nothing but ACGT. Four characters. And they go on forever. 5 million bases. So you are given, it's essentially a circle. So it's 5 billion, 5 million bases around, arranged around the circle. This is actually very, very tiny, a bacteria. While we are talking about human, we are talking about 3 billion base pairs. So this is one of the input file. It goes on forever, 5 billion bases. The output is something like, did I use tech or what? Oh, TX tech, this one. Essentially, what this will do is to give you something called alignments. It tells you, starting from that location, 4183, whatever, the other genome starts from there. They line up. So a vertical bar says that T matches T. If a bar is missing, then A doesn't match with T. That's a mismatch. Sometimes you will see gaps too. Let's see. I'll try to show you some gaps. Oh, there. So sometimes three base pairs are deleted, so they are just somehow fitted with some other base pairs here, then the alignment continues. When the things become too chaotic, we sort of stop. Okay, so this is it. You are given two sequences. You want to find all places where the two sequences are similar. Okay, so the task is extremely simple. The trouble is that when you have the sequences are too long, 3 billion base pairs against 3 billion base pairs, this will take forever, even for a modern computer. Before we wrote the program, one of the purposes we wrote this pattern hunter program was that when they compared the mouse genome and the human genome at UC Santa Cruz, they had to use this BLAST-Z that uses a farm of 1,000 computers that runs several days. Essentially, if you use one computer, it will take several years to finish the comparison of just one comparison of mouse and human. Okay. Let me try to make some comparisons of what I call homology search and what you are very familiar with, the internet search. So currently, I think there are 2 billion pages already. But anyways, we have 5 billion people on Earth, and let's say everybody has a home page, then essentially this is the size of the search, 5 billion times the home page size. Google actually uses about 500,000 base computer hours each day to do the search. The query frequency at Google is about 100 million queries per day. So the query type is very, very simple. What you do is you just search for a keyword, right? Google doesn't support anything else, I think. Well, it supports other image searches, but essentially it's keywords. The homology search that we are talking about today, potentially this is very, very big. So I mentioned that we have 400 eukaryote genomes that are being sequenced today. Currently, many have been finished. Human, mouse, dog, many things, rice, many genomes are finished already. So the size limit is potentially this big database can grow very, very large. Currently, a large fraction of computer power, supercomputing power, is doing homology search. This is not a right figure, I guess. So the NCBI BLAST server is supporting 150,000 searches per day. This is growing very, very fast. Compared to Google search, this is very small. However, imagine the Google search is actually very, very easy. So all you have to do is to build up this index table and search for Ming Li. So then this is index a keyword, and then you just go there. However, the search here is very, very difficult. There's no good index here. You have a sequence that you wanted to find approximate match. So you have to go through, essentially the idea now today is to go through the whole database linearly to find every possible position to see whether this has a match there. It takes a long time. So that's today's topic. How to do this fast? Yes? Yes. Oh. Well, they have a farm of 5,000 computers. Doesn't work out. I think I copied it from internet. Okay. So let's see. Microsoft. I don't know how many computers Google has. So I know Microsoft has 5,000. That doesn't work, right? Thank you. That goes wrong by a lot. So you can all right. They do have a lot of centers, but not that much. Well, essentially they have about 5,000 to 10,000 computers. That's it. That's what Microsoft, Google, all these search companies have. You're right. This is wrong. I don't know how this thing went. Okay. All right. So this is well, the homology search is about is a tremendous amount of cost. With lots of companies that simply try to say that, well, we speed up a search program by using parallel computers. NSF and NIH and a lot of pharmaceuticals proudly support many supercomputing centers just to do homology search. However, the hardware solution obviously is not the right solution. It becomes obsolete after a few years anyways. So the old homology search methodology is either too slow or too loosey. I'll try to get into these things a little bit later. And as a matter of fact, they are not very specific. They give you hundreds of unreadable answers. Essentially, there are two type of approaches. One way is that you do this kind of a method in computer science called dynamic programming. You have this sequence you want it to match. If you have a sequence here, a sequence there, you do some sort of a dynamic programming in n squared time. I mean, the length of here times length here to do some sort of exhaustive search. This approach would guarantee some sort of a full sensitivity. It will not lose anything. If there's a part between this sequence, between the two sequences, the first method will find it. However, if you use this kind of method, this will take 10,000 CPU hours to compare a human genome and a mouse genome using a program called S-Search. So in the 1990s, so BLAST and FastPay, these kind of heuristics have been developed by scientists. So this is actually a very, very well-known paper, the BLAST paper, that was referenced over 100,000 times in the past decade, one of the probably the most referenced paper in science or anything. Sorry? It's by Altschul, Jean Myers, and Miller, six people. So it's great paper. It's very nice. But what I'm trying to do is try to show that this is we can do better. All right. But still, if you this essentially the idea here is very simple. So what it says is following, that with the first method, you have to try the sequence everywhere against everywhere, right? And you have sequence here, you want to find all the parts that this sequence is similar to that sequence. So you want to compare every part of this sequence to every part of that sequence. So that certainly is n squared time, too slow. So these people said, well, let's not do that. Let's simply find 11 base pairs, 11 consecutive characters. If between this sequence, between the two sequences, there's 11 characters consecutive, matches 11 characters consecutive, then you would say, oh, this is a region, maybe they are similar. Otherwise, forget about it. So essentially, what you can do now is to build a gigantic hash table of 11 characters for one sequence, and then for the other sequence, you just go through the table. If it's a match, then you do the local extension. Otherwise, you don't worry. So apparently, this method is sort of a trading time for sensitivity. So it gains time, it loses sensitivity. What we want to do is that not lose anything. So we want 100% sensitivity. We also want to have 100% specificity. We also want fast time, running time. We also want to give a correct output. But how do we do that? So let me go to the blast thing first. Essentially, you have a sequence here. You have another sequence here. Blast says, okay, let's find the 11 character match. So that's there. So you have a match. Then blast says, okay, let's do extension to this side, extension to that side, extension, and that part gets reported. Okay, the trouble here is that if there's a mutation here, that part, these two parts still look very similar, but they don't share a 11 character common subsequence, and this one will be missed by blast. It will not be reported. So this is not very good. So the sensitivity goes down, right? So a part of homology gets sort of overlooked. So how do you solve this? That's our question today. So over the past 20 years, since BLAST has been invented, people try, right? And people try different ways. Well, one obvious way is that, you make it shorter, right? I mean, so to see this 11, so instead of 11, make it a 10. Now, if 10 doesn't work, make it 9, otherwise 8. So the trouble is that every time you get rid of one character from this required match, the program slows down by a factor of 4. Because you increase number of random matches by a factor of 4. So there are 4 characters. So that sort of doesn't work, right? Then there are other approaches. Things don't work out very well. Before I go on, let me make things a little bit more formalize this a little bit and make it more mathematical. So between this sequence and that sequence, if they match, they don't match, I put a 0 here. If they match, I put a 1 here. So essentially, I'm converting this homologous region into a 0-1 sequence. Okay. Now, so this is, I mentioned about the BLAST dilemma already, right? So we want to speed up search, but yet we don't want to lose sensitivity. And we want to increase the sensitivity, and we don't want to slow down. How do we do this? Okay, so now this is where mathematics helps. Okay, so let me represent a BLAST seed. Let me call this a seed. So BLAST requires 11 consecutive matches. So remember, a homologous region is a sequence of 0 ones. All right. So therefore, a BLAST seed is 11 ones. So that matches somewhere. Therefore, that's a seeded match. Then you can do extension. So the BLAST seed can be represented by 11 ones. So what we have done here is a very, very simple change of BLAST. All we said is, okay, 11 bits, you want 11 matches, so that's not a good idea. That's actually the worst idea. What you should do is to insert some spaces in between. Okay, so what you do is you require match, don't care, skip a character, don't look at this character, and match, skip, match, skip, match, skip, match, skip, and 3 matches. Okay, very, very simple change. Nothing, nothing really very fancy, but this such a change is actually very, very, is actually quite profound. So here, 1 means a required match, a star means don't care. As you can see that I still require 11 position matches, and I don't, same as this guy. But all I did is to insert some positions in these things and to space this out. Yes?
That's just an example. What you're actually saying is you want 11 matches in, say, 20 consecutive.
19. 18, yes.
18, okay.
Yeah.
The stars could be anywhere.
No.
No? The 311 is...
So this is the optimal arrangement of the stars. If you put stars elsewhere in the funny place, wrong places, they are no good. So I'll get to there.
Why is 11 such a magic number?
11 is not a magic number. It's just an example that I gave here. In the program that I showed to you, actually, you can, it depends on the sensitivities that you wish to have. You can have 11, 12, 13, 14, 10, 9. It doesn't matter. So we for every such length, we have a seed for this, like this. The mirror image of this is also optimal, and that's it. I mean, as far as 11 is concerned, and 18 length, then you enlarge it a little bit, that's fine too. Then you increase the sensitivity a little bit, but the trouble is that then your seed goes becomes too long, and you will miss some short homologous regions. But the thing is that does it make any difference at all? Why should this be different? I mean, that requires 11 matches. This requires 11 matches, right? I mean, what is the difference? But that is the difference. This is just sort of an experimental thing that we have done. And then before we get into mathematics, well, I'll not have too many mathematics, but formulas, but. This is on a region of length 64 simulation. Let's look at, so these numbers are homologous levels of the sequence. For example, 0.7 means in this length, in this region of 64 bits, 70% of these bits are ones. So this is an ID sequence. Okay, so at each position, it's 0.7 probability to be 1, 0.3 probability to be 0. Okay. Now, this is the probability that one of the seeds have a hit, have a match in the region. If you can see, the blue line is the blast seed of 11 consecutive characters, 11 consecutive ones. It has a probability of 0.3 to have a match in this 64-bit 0.7 homologous region. Okay, the probability of having that this region contains a 11 consecutive ones is 0.3. Now, the probability that this region, same region, contains my space seed on the top, which is not optimal in the at that time. It's actually 0.5, almost 0.5, 0.46, something like that. A increase of sensitivity of 50%. Okay. So even if you look at the red line, the red seed, which is one character shorter, right? So in blast, you can say, well, I want to increase sensitivity, so I shorten my seed by one character, and I slow down my program four times, right? You can see that this thing still doesn't catch up with my 11. That means automatically, without doing anything, I speed up. If I use this seed instead of that seed, I speed up the program by a factor of four already, just not doing anything but replacing the consecutive seed at the same sensitivity, replacing the consecutive by the spaced. Okay. So let us formalize this a little bit. So this is my homologous region. I wish to have a seed that is more likely to hit that region, right? This is essentially the homologous search problem, the blast search problem. So the blast seed is this, it wants a consecutive match of 11. Our seed, our space seed, is something like this at this point. So the question is, which one is more likely to hit, right? So let me, first of all, in this sequence, it just so happened that I built that way that the space, the consecutive seed doesn't have a hit. That seed has a hit. By that seed having a hit, I mean that once must match once, and star doesn't have to match anything. So on top, matching with star, it can be a zero, it can be a one. Okay, so the first little lemma that one can prove is the following. Actually, I don't have to get into this, and I can just say that. Because you are all mathematicians, so this requires 11 matches, this requires 11 matches, so therefore the expected number of matches of this and this is the same. Okay, right? So it's essentially, you just take this and go through and sum up the expectation, sum up the matches. That's the expectation, right? So then because this requires 11 matches, which is p to the power of 11, that's p to the power of 11, sum up to and times the length of the interval. Well, this one actually is slightly shorter and it has fewer positions, but let's not even worry about that part. So essentially, this guy and that guy have same number of matches. Now, if they have same number of matches, why is on earth that this guy is more likely to hit? That's actually a very interesting mathematical question, which this is a little lemma that shows that. Okay, certainly I'm not going to get into proofs, which I actually don't have a proof. By not having a proof, I mean that nobody has a proof. All we can show is that a proof in some ways. We certainly can show that this particular sequence has much higher sensitivity probability to have a hit. By not having a proof, which I'm saying that if you really want to show that a space seed always has a higher probability for any condition, and a general theorem that can, it's very difficult to prove. But in our specific case, we can. So in this particular case, let me try to give you a little bit more intuitive version of this. Okay, now suppose I have a English text of 11 characters, right? So I ask you what is more likely to appear. So this is the random English IID text. So each letter appears with probability 1 over 26. So is it AAA more likely or ABC more likely? So that's my question. This is actually an identical question to this, to my question here. So you can compute the expected number of occurrence of AAA and ABC are the same, and right? You just do a sum. So the funny thing is that the probability that each one occurs is different, and this is why this is the fact that we depend on that our space seed depend on. So imagine this. Now if AAA appears, so remember that everybody has same number of, so this is bad explanation, but I'll do that anyways. So imagine that everybody has the same number of occurrences in the expectation. Let's say everybody has 10. Now if AAA appears, now it is very likely, with probability 1 over 26, it has another occurrence if you get another A on the end, right? So if in this sequence you have AAA, then with 1 over 26, you get another A. That's another occurrence of AA. But if ABC occurs, that is not a very self-correlated sequence. So then in order for another occurrence of ABC to occur again, it has to somehow start over again, ABC. So that probability is very, very low. So essentially what this phenomena says is that this very self-correlated sequence somehow its occurrence is very clustered. So if AA appears, it is more likely that another AA occur again. So essentially, everybody has $10, and you want to cover 10 boxes. The trouble is that every time in that case you threw a dollar into a bucket, you are more likely to throw another one, waste another one into the same bucket, right? Now this one is different. This one is very different. This one, a dollar, another dollar, another dollar. You are more likely to cover 10 boxes rather than this one might be able to cover 9 or something. So really that this sequence is not very self-correlated, and that sequence is very self-correlated. That sequence too, okay, if you look at the blast and you hit, now if you have hit 1, 1, 1, 1, 11 once, now if you take another hit, if you have a shift, that's another hit. Remember, we have the same number of expected hits. No, but if you always have clustered hits, then you don't have these hits don't occur elsewhere when they are needed. So these are when you shift these sequences, the non-overlap positions are always maximized. As a matter of fact, you can optimize these seeds in such a way. Actually, they are not maximized this way. One can show that this is actually not true. the story that I'm telling here is slightly off mathematically. If you really want to calculate these probabilities, you cannot just do this. But intuitively, that's essentially the case. So therefore, somehow we've got this sequence, a space seed, that we have same number of hits. What does that mean? It means that when you compare two genomes, a mouse and a human, you have same number of hits. We don't waste any more hits. So our speed is the same as blast. However, we are much more sensitive. We hit the right position. We hit where we need to hit. Well, that's a lot of a junk that it can be computed. So remember that I promised that, so there are some things for biology talk that we don't have to talk here. Remember I promised the following. I promised that we want 100% sensitivity. We want blast speed. We want everything, right? this simple idea only increase the sensitivity by, let's say, 50%. But that's still not the 100% sensitivity. It's just a slight. It's a major improvement. Maybe I can improve the speed by a factor of 4 by working on at the same sensitivity. But that's still not too much. I want 100% sensitivity. So what do we do? The idea now is that this space, the seed business, actually allows us to use many. Remember, if you have consecutive seed 11, then there's just one choice, 11. But if you have spaced, somebody, Mary, Barbara asked about whether these positions can be changed. This is the optimal seed. If you just use one. However, nobody says you cannot use two, right? I mean, if you wish to cover the position more, we can use a different one, right? You can optimize this business to say, well, this guy covers this portion of the sequences, and you use a different seed to cover some other portion of the ensemble. You can use 3, 4, 5. So this doesn't cost too much, right? I mean, so each seed just slows down the program by one time of run the program again. Actually, you don't even have to run the program again. You can use several seeds together to optimize this business. So So that's what we did. We found many several seeds. Did some experiment. This is one experiment. 29,000 mouse ESTs, 4,000 human ESTs. It's actually just coding sequences. So with these sequences, this is BLAST. This is one seed. This is one coding region seed, actually. Then this is two seeds, four seeds, eight seeds. As you can see that when the seeds are, number of seeds are increased, essentially we reach 100% sensitivity. Essentially, then we cover all the cases, almost. Yes. The seeds don't cover, don't capture insertion deletions. However, the seeds are short. So essentially, the expectation is that an alignment region is sort of long, and there are regions that are sort of that don't have insertion deletions, and that's essentially the assumption. Yeah. Now, if there are insertion, if you wish to get seeds to cover insertion deletions, that's difficult. But for the we the experiments with real data has been all right. Okay, so here are some here is some comparison. This is Smith-Waterman dynamic programming. It takes with the same set of data. It costs you 20 CPU days. So you 20 days and one CPU. If you use four seeds, it reaches 100%, almost 99% sensitivity. So it uses about 475 seconds, which is at the same speed as BLAST, and it's 3,638 times faster than the Smith-Waterman dynamic programming. Okay, so this is another thing. Let me introduce a third very simple idea that uses a hidden Markov model to do. Do I have a few minutes? Okay. Using hidden Markov model to do gene finding, to do homology search. So remember I mentioned that the traditional homology search essentially is so this kind of pattern hunter, BLAST or whatever. What we do is if you have a sequence, we just return all the matches of these sequences, fragments. But this usually don't mean too much. For a biologist, if I have a gene, say I have a gene from a mouse, I wish that to search this gene in a human genome. I don't want you just to return the fragmented matches. This is not too meaningful. I want to see whether this gene matches completely to a human gene, a structured match. So we decided to investigate this idea. So what we did is the following. We still do the same thing, space seed everything. But when we find a region where we think that this is more likely to be a match, we build a hidden Markov model for that. So this hidden Markov model has been used for gene finding in the literature for a very long time for gene finding. So what we do is to adapt one of those hidden Markov models there. But then remember that you have a mouse gene. This mouse gene has structures, intron, exon, and the splicing sites and all that stuff. So therefore, we can use those information to sort of bias that hidden Markov model, to retrain the hidden Markov model a little bit. Then we use this hidden Markov model to match the human genome, to match that local human thing. So this is let me actually, instead of giving you this, give you a real thing, real experiment. So we did some experiment with 400 one-to-one orthogonal gene pairs. Essentially, this is from NCBI, homologo gene database. So 400 pairs from human and mouse. One gene from human, one gene from mouse, 400 pairs. So what we have, if you don't use mouse, gene scan actually achieves 71% sensitivity and 50% specificity on the exon level. I don't have time to get into the too much details, but let me show you the pictures. So we improve that significantly. And we would be able to, if your query is a gene, we return a gene. We don't return now random fragments. So we actually also found 50 human genes that should have been better. Out of that 400, that has better that with better alignment. So the database annotation we found probably has some problems. Let me show you one of the examples. Okay, so this is a gene on chromosome 17. This one is the human annotation in that database, in the NCBI database, the human target, this one. The top sequence is the BLAST output from mouse query. So we have essentially this database has pairs, right? We use this pair to query, to do the homology match. So the BLAST uses that query to match against that human sequence. Not the gene. This gene is not given, right? I mean, so it's on the genome is given. So BLAST has, the BLAST, that's a different program, not BLAST. Has introduced, so these little things are called exons. You see that this is some part of the prior knowledge I probably should have introduced in the beginning. But in any case, so eukaryote genomes, so the prokaryote genomes, which are germs, a gene is very simple, start and end. That's it. So for eukaryote genomes, things are a little bit different. So we have so-called exons and introns. Essentially, within the gene, there are pieces that are junk. So essentially, the gene starts from here and ends there, not ending there, but temporarily ending there, and then it runs into some sort of a desert, then it starts again, and some useful information runs into a desert, and so intron. So the good parts are called intron exons. So then the bad parts are called introns, and so it goes on and off. So these are the good exons. The lines here are sort of introns. As you can see that the BLAST, the first one, introduced one exon here, right? 1, 2, 3, the number 3 exon is introduced. But there's something wrong here. It misses a exon here. This is our prediction. So our prediction matches the human target pretty well until here. We have introduced one exon until here. So then we were wondering about, this is the gene scan annotation without mouse reference. Without mouse data, they did pretty badly, actually. If you can see here, something wrong here, something wrong here, something wrong here. There are lots of problems here. So that's the gene scan annotation, telling where the gene is precisely. So this is our prediction. That is the database annotation. So we were wondering, how come? So we are wrong, maybe. So we went into the mammalian gene collection. So these are the full-length cDNA experiments. These are real biological things, the real data. So when we compared our prediction with the real data, we found out that we are perfect. So see, so no problem. It is the human, the NCBI homologous gene database missed a exon, actually. So this is one of the nice experiments that we, nice surprises we have 50 of these cases, actually. Some are more obvious, some are less. Okay, I think I'm done. so let's see. Thank you. Yeah, I'm done.